CBS Mornings on this Thursday, March 23rd. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
And I'm Vladimir Tutit.
Ahead on today's CBS Mornings on the go, Grammy-nominated country superstar, that is Mickey Guyton. She's going to be here today. She's hosting a new singing competition show that will introduce us to new voices in the country scene. And Emmy Award-winning actor, that's Kiefer Sutherland, is starring in the new action thriller series. It's called Rabbit Hole. He's also here, too. We got a lot to talk to him about. He's knockout, too, by the way, in this role. All that and more after these messages. Hey, hey, Prime members, talking to you. You can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Cue the music, cue the excitement. March Madness tips off again tonight, the start of Sweet 16. That's the round of 16. What remains from what was 68 teams? Here are your brackets. Nobody, and I mean literally nobody, predicted this. We've got two remaining number ones. Alabama taking on San Diego State. Houston will take on Miami. They are heavily favored. If you like an underdog, we've got Princeton against Creighton. Also, FAU may be in that category, although they would say otherwise. What I can tell you is nobody's path to right now has been easy, and that is especially true for Michigan State taking on Kansas State, a number 7 seed. The Spartans' journey here has been touched by tragedy. CBS Sports' James Brown spoke with the legendary head coach there, Tom Izzo, about how the team came together following all that came before. JB, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. A legendary coach, by the way, who's in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. He's guided his Michigan State Spartans to 25 consecutive NCAA tournaments. He's been to the Final Four 8 times, and yes, he has a national championship to his title. But as you said, he would be one of the first to acknowledge this has been one of his most challenging seasons.
Mr. March, Tom Izzo, takes Michigan State back to the Sweet 16.
Back to the Sweet 16 for the 15th time.
We were kind of a team without a rudder until maybe early January, and but I always kind of believed in this team.
But for Coach Tom Izzo and his Michigan State Spartans, this season was one without a playbook.
Coach, what's bringing you to tears right now?
Yeah, it's been a long year, but really proud of those guys. They hung in there.
A long year because of a tragic month. A campus shooting in February took the lives of 3 students.
I saw you be as emotional as I've ever seen you after the last game.
We've been through a lot together. The team kind of came together. You saw a couple players that maybe hadn't been playing as well. And, you know, like we all do in life, it takes different times in your life to buy into what's needed to accomplish things that are special. It was my way of giving a hug to those families that lost their child.
Izzo, likely the most notable man on campus, hoped his Spartans could help those grieving.
As a Spartan, we always get through it together. We're Spartan tough, Spartan strong.
I've looked at it as maybe we can be a way to help the healing process.
Days later, they returned to the court against Michigan, and their biggest rival quickly became their closest ally.
Their student body wore shirts and bracelets, and they hung our flag. You know, you can be competitive as you can be, but sometimes you got to work together.
He's emphasized that message to his team from the start. And now they are on yet another magical March Madness run.
Dribbles in the paint with the left hand. Whoa. Oh, what a finish!
Tom Izzo, anything new that you've learned about yourself or that you saw come to the forefront in circumstances that I know that there's a handbook for.
I told my players, oh, there's going to be a lot of things in life as have hit you and have hit me. And I think they're going to be better prepared for that. And that's what I've tried to sell all season. Can we do it for another game or two and get into a Final Four? Only time will tell. But I'm really proud of how they've handled things.
Well, that time is now. As a matter of fact, they take on a very tough Kansas State squad to try to get to the Elite Eight. By the way, Izzo has been there 10 times. Hey, and as I throw it back to the table, yes, the numbers are there, Hall of Famer, but he is one of the most widely respected coaches who truly loves his players, and it's reciprocated.
Yeah, you can tell that. They're certainly a winning team, but after all, they've been through a lot of people pulling for them this year. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. And we like that coach. You like him too, JB? Coach Izzo seems like a good guy.
Absolutely. Gail, he's honest, he's frank, he's genuine, and that's what everybody embraces about him for sure.
Yeah. Now, JB, I noticed he had a little bit of gravel there in his voice. Yeah. Was he fighting off a cold, or that's just intensity?
Well, a little bit of that as well, too, but it truly has been difficult. You know, he's got a son who attends Michigan State, so when the shootings were taking place as a parent, he was trying to find his son, and then he was calling all of his players to be the surrogate father. So it's been a pretty tough stretch, and that would explain the gravelly voice, Tony.
I like, James, you described him as honest, frank, and genuine. That's what they say about you, too.
And we agree.
Vlad
and Tony, nobody listens better than Gail. I'm always concerned about what she may come back to me with. Thank you for being traditional this morning, Gail.
When she's writing down those quotes, yeah.
But you know, so is Sean, our executive producer. She's always worried about that, too.
Yeah. And JB, there's emotion in Izzo's voice for sure. There's also, I'm sure, when that door closes on practice, he's voicing his concerns and getting that team ready to play. And we're going to watch them play. JB, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye, James.
All right, you can watch coverage of the NCAA Men's Basketball Sweet 16 on CBS and TBS. That is starting tonight.
Look at her, country singer Mickey Guyton. She's known for breaking down barriers. She made history as the first black artist to earn a Grammy nomination for Best Country Album ever.
Yeah.
Yes, now Guyton is part of a groundbreaking new music competition show with executive producers. Listen to this. Reese Witherspoon, thank you, Reese. Kacey Musgraves, not too shabby. My Kind of Country, it's called, follows Guyton along with her fellow judges, Jimmy Allen, love him, he's been here, and Orville Peck, as they mentor a diverse group of country artists. The winner will receive what's being called the life-changing prize from Apple Music. Here's a look.
Today is the day of my showcase, and we get to hear them perform live for the first time. And I'm so nervous. So we are looking for authenticity, and we're looking for true artistry. From there, we'll decide who moves forward to the next show, which is where we will really dig in and work with the artists in a more hands-on way.
No matter what happens this
I've already seen some of the episodes. Mickey Guyton, it's so good. It's so glad to have you here.
You guys.
To have you in the studio.
It's so good to be here in this new studio. Yeah.
We like it. But Mickey, I first heard about you from Klaus, who's over there on the study. He came to work one day. He had seen you at a dinner and said, have you heard of her? And he showed me a video. And I tracked you down. So we did our first interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's
thank
Klaus.
You. Klaus.
Thank you, Klaus.
Bringing it.
He could be your new best friend.
Yes, he is.
But it's been almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So I look at you, when I met you, you were single, you weren't married, you didn't have a baby. And now here you sit here today, a grown-ass woman, which you always were.
Grown-ass woman.
Talk about
that. Yes.
But I wonder what this show is like for you, only because you know how these people feel. This is their big shot, their big chance.
You know, I felt a huge responsibility for each of these artists. And for me to even have signed up for the show, I needed to let the producers and the showrunner know that you have to go beyond the show and protect these artists. Because
what do you mean?
I've done, a show like this.
American Idol.
I did, and sometimes you can feel disposable. Like, it's like on to the next cast. And I just, for me, I didn't want these artists to feel that way.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a huge, like, that was something that was huge for me.
You know what else I thought was interesting is country music. You guys say you want a different kind of country music. Yeah. But I never thought South Africa,
yeah,
Mexico.
Yes.
India?
Yes. I just think this
What's the thinking here?
Yeah. I think it's just such a huge opportunity. Country music is universal.
Yes.
And there's so many people that love country music outside of America that don't necessarily have the access to it. And this is giving them that opportunity. It's really holding the door open and giving listeners that love country music another version of it.
So how do you define country music in this? I've heard it described as three chords and the truth.
Yes.
But if you're saying it's universal, all these people are bringing different experiences to it, then what is it? What are the judges looking for, I guess?
So we're definitely looking for tones. We're looking for the stories. You know, country music is stories about life, and we want to hear that within the artists. And we want to hear, you know, a little twang in their voice, like what you hear in country music. That's stuff that we look for sure, and for the country artists.
So one of the things, let's go back to your appearance on American Idol and what that was like and your attempt to try and make that different for the contestants on this show. There are people who are going to come on the show. Some of them are not going to make it.
Yeah.
But what is your advice to people who come on and who want to achieve some kind of level of success and fame the way that you have?
That this show is a stepping stone to get to where you want to go. Like, this is not the end of the road. Even if you don't make it to the very end of the competition, it doesn't mean that you're less talented. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be an artist. This is just a stepping stone, and it's also letting so many people, you're exposed to so many different artists.
Did you feel like that when you didn't make it in American Idol? Did you feel, did your self-worth or value feel them? It did?
Yes.
It did.
I mean, but I was a lot younger. And it was at a different time. And I remember when they told me no, it's heartbreaking. It's gut-wrenching, you know? It really is. Like, nobody likes to hear no.
You know, and you know what else nobody likes to hear? This was a very difficult decision. You were so
blind,
very tough.
Yes.
But we're not choosing you. And you just look at their little faces.
It's devastating. I lose sleep over it. I've lost sleep.
But I look at Mickey, where you've come in this place, you know, a young Black woman where people thought you didn't belong.
Yeah.
And how you process that today as you sit here, because you too have kicked in some doors to get where you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are you feeling about yourself and what it's taken for you to get from there to here?
I feel incredibly proud of myself
that
I didn't give up. And I think that's the lesson here.
You thought about giving up?
Oh my gosh, every day. Sometimes even now I'm just like, oh my God, can I do this? You know, I left my son with my husband in LA to be here.
Yes.
That's really hard, but you know, it's so worth it, and I want to make my son proud, and I know he'd want me to be here. So I'm here.
And how are you feeling about the genre itself, country music? When we talked to you back in 2021, I think it was, you said you were very hopeful about its future. Are you still feeling that way?
I am feeling that way. With shows like My Kind of Country and what it's doing for country globally, I think is huge. And also, even on my record label alone, with Cindy Maeve, they've signed like quite a few Black artists, from Warren Treaty to Dalton Dover, that are two amazing Black country artists that have incredible voices. And that's also happening at other record labels. So there is change. Obviously, I want it to happen faster, but we have to meet people where they're at right now, and that is happening, and I'm so excited.
Does country music want it to change? Because I listen to some of the artists, I go, well, I'd like to hear a little bit more country than that. Some of it sounded a little poppy to me.
Yeah.
Do you think the country music genre wants to change, is open to these changes?
I think Jimmy Allen said it best. He goes, we're not trying to change country music. We're just trying to add to it. And I think that that is such a great way of saying it. You're not trying to change the landscape or change people's minds.
Yes.
And you have to give the country listeners credit that they do want to hear something different.
Yes. Yeah. And that line between country and pop has always been a little blurry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's,
I agree.
And country and hip hop. So, and country and rock.
What are you most excited about as you sit here today? Anything you can share with the class?
I am. I have music coming out this summer.
Second album,
I'm really excited about it. I can't say who it's with, but it's really, really exciting.
Okay. Yes, you can.
I can't.
Give us initials.
I can't.
And you're touring with Shania Twain for
a
couple days.
Yes, I am.
Exciting.
So it's nice. It's been great.
I love it.
We are so happy for your success.
Thank y'all so much.
Yeah, we got you in 2021, now you're here in 2023. Come back again before 2025.
I would absolutely love that.
Great. Klaus and I will still be here.
Yes.
Thank you, Mickey.
Hopefully all of us will still be here.
Yes.
I intend to be here, too.
Yes, you will be here.
Call my agent.
I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. My kind of country.
None of y'all will be here.
I have a contract.
My kind of country tomorrow. I didn't mean it that way. I was just playing with Klaus. Tomorrow on Roll the Prompter, Please, on Apple TV+. Thank you, Mickey.
More from this episode of CBS Mornings after this short break.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. Time now to bring you some of the stories that are talk of the table this morning. I'm at the edge of my seat. Mr. Duthier, what do you got?
So I have a very, very interesting talk of the table. It's about scientists trying to figure out what caused the death of the legendary German composer Ludwig von Beethoven almost 200 years ago at the age of 56. Researchers were able to study his DNA by analyzing locks of hair he left behind. They published their findings yesterday in the journal. It's called Current Biology. And the researchers say they found significant genetic risk factors for liver disease. Huh. They also discovered evidence of hepatitis B, which affects the liver. But here's what's really interesting. They could not find a reason for the composer's hearing loss. Mm. Those factors, along with Beethoven's drinking, led scientists to conclude that he most likely died from liver failure, although the drinking that Beethoven did was not the kind of drinking that we associate with alcoholism today. In fact, most scientists will say that it was fairly reasonable, but because he had this propensity and he may have contracted that hepatitis B as an infant.
Yeah.
And that may have been the reason why he succumbed to an early death.
Yeah, they weren't using Brita filters back then.
They were
so
not.
So the alcohol was safer to drink.
They were not. But I find it remarkable and interesting that researchers are so fascinated in studying his DNA because when we are confronted with a genius that is Beethoven, which he was, if you just listen to any of his compositions, you want to understand how that genius came to be and why his light was extinguished so early.
And he may be saying, please let me rest in peace. No need to talk about my drinking. My talk of the table is a big shout out and a special mommy hug to our friend and co-host of CBS Saturday Morning. That's Michelle Miller. I was so lucky. I got to sit down with her earlier this week at the 92nd Street Y, right here in New York. Y. We were talking about her new book. It's called Belonging.
Look at that crowd.
I know, look at that. It was sold out. Last night, I got a text from Michelle that she had some very big news to share, and now she is sharing it on Instagram.
We just got a call from
Lisa Sharkey,
my publisher. Guess what? Oh, my God. Belonging is on the New York Times bestseller list. We're number 11, I'm told. I don't know anything more than that. But the minute I found out, I dropped everything.
Thank you so much for Brian buying the book, for trusting in me, and believing in belonging. It's all about believing in belonging.
Believing in belonging. So Michelle sent me this text that said, did you hear, boo? We are number 11 on the New York Times bestsellers list. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I'm so happy for her. Not only that, the book is really good.
Yeah.
She's in great company. Prince Harry's on the list. He's number 2. Michelle Obama's on the list. Paris Hilton's on the list. And now Michelle Miller's on the list.
And she
in the number 11
to be
spot.
There.
And it's only going to go higher. Word of mouth is going to propel this thing.
No, I think
it's
right.
so good.
It's a really big deal. It's one of those accolades, like Olympic gold medalist, that like stays with you forever.
For life.
40 years from now.
And it's not just that. I'm just so proud and happy for Michelle, our sister, our colleague, who has, you know, when you read the book, when you're presenting presented with her every day, when you see her in the newsroom or whenever she comes and gives you a big hug and a kiss, you don't know what's going on in the surface.
Yeah. This book, a lot has gone on in her life. You got a story to tell.
All right, my talk of the table is actually something somebody else is going to be talking about, and it is an exclusive announcement from soccer star Ali Krieger. It's an announcement you will only see on CBS Mornings. Krieger has been a key part of U.S. women's soccer for more than a decade now. She joined the national team back in 2008, and since then, the star defender has played in 108 games for Team USA, including three World Cup finals, helping the team win two World Cup championships in 2015 and 2019. Krieger currently plays for Gotham Football Club, FC, in the National Women's Soccer League. And off the field, she is an outspoken advocate for the LGBTQ plus community. And along with her U.S. teammates, she pushed for equal pay for female athletes. And that led to legislation signed by President Biden this year, ensuring all Team USA women get the same pay as men in their sport. And Ali Krieger joins us now. Ali, good morning. I said this is your talk of the table, really. And it is a big talker. You've got something to announce.
The floor.
Yes, thank you so much, first and foremost, for inviting me here. But I do want to make a big announcement that this will be my final and last year playing professional soccer. And I'm so excited to celebrate with my friends, my family, my teammates, coaching staff, and just everyone, most importantly, the fans over the years, and celebrate this year since it'll be my last.
A lot of people are sitting at home going, no, Ellie,
I know.
No. And you're saying it so calmly. How did you know that this was a time for you? Did anything happen?
Yes. I think as an athlete, where you hear it before, a lot of athletes say you just know the right time. And I feel that this is the right time for me. I've given so much to the game and I've gotten a lot in return. But I feel it. My body also feels it.
You're but still playing very well, though.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to keep it like that and on a high. And so my focus is fully on Gotham FC and winning an NWSL championship this year. So make no mistake, that is the most important goal for me this season. And then, you know, at the end, we'll see what happens.
Wow. Yeah, you got a season to focus on. But we were talking in the green room. You've been playing organized soccer for 32 years of your life. You have given a lot to the sport. We actually have a picture of you as a youngster. I don't know how young. Well, maybe we'll get the picture up and you can tell us. Aww. There you are. Aww. Go Eagles.
Yes.
What would you tell that little girl about the career ahead for her? And what advice would you have really for all the little girls who are now that age wanting to be you?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I'm so proud that I've had the career that I've had, and starting out playing organized soccer at, you know, age 5, 6 years old, chasing my brother around, and trying to beat him and everything. But I would just tell her, listen, you can only control two things, really. It's your work ethic and your attitude towards something. And also, don't be afraid to take risks, because I took a big risk going overseas right after school and graduating at Penn State. And it led me to my dream job of playing with the U.S. Women's National Team. And so I feel that talking to that young girl, there's so much ahead of her. But those two things of advice I would probably, give back.
Well, your lovely wife, Ashlyn's here. She knows a little thing or two. We were together in the green room about retiring, because she's a professional soccer player as well.
Yes.
You know that.
Yes.
And she announced her retirement last year. What has she told you about what this process is like?
She's been very, very happy. She's so excited.
For you or for her?
For both.
I think her exact quote was, I'm glad to have my wife back.
Exactly. Glad to have my wife back. No, but we have two beautiful kids, and, we've given the game
Two under two.
Yeah. And we've given the game so much, and, using our platform for speaking up on issues that really we believe in. And we want to continue that work outside of soccer. And we want to make an impact. Yes, we've made an impact on the field for so many years, but now it's focusing on making that impact off the field. And I think also just having family time and spending quality time together with our two kids. And we haven't had that in so long or ever. So I think that's what we're looking forward to most. And I think she's very, very excited and happy about that.
So how excited do you think Sloan and Ocean are going to be once you retire to see you every day at home with them?
It's going to be exciting because, you try to find that balance now as a working mom to really give 100% when you walk into the door, and you want your kids to see you happy. And so I think that they're going to be even happier because we're going to be even more excited to be home, you know, more consistently. And so that's something that I really look forward to, and not really having a schedule, being able to, you know, wake up with them and then, you know, spend days with them and then put them to bed. It's like the times that we really cherish as moms.
Maybe coach a little youth soccer.
Maybe. It's going to be hard for me to sit on the sideline, I'll tell you that. But no, I, with any sport that they want to play or anything that way they want to choose to do, we're going to be fully
behind. Allie Krieger, your legacy will be what, in your words, as we say goodbye?
You know, I want to leave the game better than where I found it. And I really believe that, you know, I've used my voice, my platform to try to impact, you know, future generations that are going to follow in our footsteps.
Right.
And, you know, we have done so much, like I said, on the field, but the impact off the field, I think I'm most proud of as a professional soccer player.
Yeah. Allie Krieger, we thank you.
Bravo.
The game thanks you.
Congratulations.
Great season ahead. We
thank
appreciate you being here.
Yes.
The 2023 National Women's Soccer League season returns this Saturday with coverage across CBS Sports platforms all season long.
I need a favor. I need you to call your boss and ask him to give me clearance on the identification of this source.
I thought we just agreed that it didn't matter.
Yeah, but I've still got to call Walsh and tell him that I did everything I could. I would like to cover my own ass.
Jack, you're finally learning how to play the game.
That is the first episode of 24 where Kiefer Sutherland's Jack Bauer must stop a terror plot in 24 hours. The series continued for more than 200 episodes and earned the actor two Emmys.
Wow.
Now he is starring in the new series. It's called Rabbit Hole. It's on Paramount Plus, a division of Paramount. Sutherland plays John Weir. He is a corporate spy, although he says he's not, and a master of deception who's framed for the murder of a Treasury official. Weir must chase down his enemies while on the run himself. Here's a preview.
Where are you taking her? What's your precinct? What are the charges? This woman has done nothing and they're arresting her.
What are you doing?
I have it all on camera.
Answer him. Answer
I
him.
See you. We see you. We see you.
Back off.
We see you.
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 We can see you.
We see you.
We see you.
Are you ready?
We see you.
You ready enough?
Guys, guys!
That is so intense.
Wow.
Kiefer Sutherland is here
in
the studio. Good morning. Good to see you.
So good to see you guys. And before we get started, I have to warn you a little bit. During the pandemic, you know, normally when I was working, I wouldn't get to see the morning shows as much as certainly I did during the pandemic. So if I start to behave a little too familiar with you, it's because I feel like I really know you.
Oh, wow.
You were a real sense of normalcy for me during that time that was so unnormal and abnormal.
Well, I'm so glad, because I thought you were going to say, so I don't really know you all very well.
No, I'm like,
oh, no. That's so nice of you to say.
In a year where I was wearing pajamas, I would look at Vlad's suits, and I would go like, I'm going to go get dressed right now. I'm going to go
clip that and play it forever for me. That is
get a discount from your tailor.
Yeah,
so nice, Keith.
Thank you. It's great to see you in person.
Listen, we liked you even before you said that. Now we really like you.
Oh, thank you.
It's so true.
Go ahead.
So wait, let's talk about Rabbit Hole.
Yes.
When you got the call for this, I mean, I've read where you said, "Thank God they called me."
Thank God they called me because our showrunners. John and Glenn are two of my favorite writers. One of their screenplays was Bad Santa, which I thought was one of the funniest movies that I'd seen in 20 years. And as directors, Stupid Crazy Love I thought was one of the most well-balanced films that I'd seen in a very long time. And so whoever they were going to call was going to end up doing this job. But I love the genre of the thriller, and they wanted to pay homage to those 70s thrillers like 3 Days of the Condor,
yes, love that film.
Parallax View, Marathon Man. And those were the films that I grew up watching as a young man that one day if I was fortunate enough to work as an actor, those were the films I kind of wanted to make.
Well, look at you, Kiefer. You're still killing it. Listen, we were only allowed to see one episode.
Yeah.
And I'm already hooked. I'm trying to figure out, because they're comparing.
We have so many questions.
They're comparing Jack Bauer and Mr. Weir, and you say they couldn't be more different.
Well, the genre is the same. So
yes.
It is a thriller, and the kind of the temple of a thriller is that you take your lead character, you turn their life upside down, kick them to the corner, and say, now run for your life.
Yeah.
And that's a thriller. And that's very similar to 24,
that's so true.
And that's very similar to this. But there's huge differences in the characters. Jack Bauer was the guy who would run into a fight. John Weir will try and figure out how to run away from a fight as hard as he can. Mm-hmm. Jack Bauer, and you have to understand, one of the greatest opportunities I've ever had in my life. But as a character, he was kind of a blunt instrument, mm-hmm. Whereas John Weir is kind of like a surgeon's scalpel.
Yes.
And he
has some jerky tendencies, I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For instance, he's incredibly smart and has this amazing facility with numbers, and he can make these fantastic predictions. But he suffers from severe self-confidence issues and almost borderlining on neurosis. So there's these great contradictions in the character that I hope the audience is going to enjoy as much as I enjoyed playing.
Forgive my simple mind. Though, when it comes down to it, playing this character, and you're known for your heroic roles, is John Weir a good guy or a bad guy?
Good question.
Well, again, that's one of the things that I love about this show. It's up for the audience to figure out. And I think John and Glenn have done such a beautiful job in the writing of this. He doesn't start out telling the truth, you know? I mean, it is very obvious. Yes, he works as someone in the world of corporate espionage. He's running an operation, which means he's lying and he's conning people into
corporate
doing something.
Corporate espionage that he calls consulting.
Consulting. Yeah.
But why are you still doing your own stunts? You don't have to do... Why do you do that?
It's one of the things that I loved about 24, the physicality of that character. And I haven't had the opportunity, in all fairness. Designated Survivor was a very different character. And this was one of the aspects that I loved getting back to. In the first fight sequence that we did, I was thrilled to kind of be a part of it. And then I realized, it's another difference between 24 and... Like, Jack Bauer always won his fights.
Yes.
John Weir loses all his fights.
Yes. But wait, Kiefer, Tony said that you usually play heroic characters, but I say that you started out, when I was watching you in your early days, you were one of the scariest villains in Stand By Me. You're one of the scariest movie villains ever in Stand By Me.
The only part they gave me. I wanted to be one of the nice kids, but it was the part they gave me.
Deliver, Kiefer Sutherland.
Thank you so much.
Always do.
So great.
We thank you so much. You want to take us to break? You know how to read, Kiefer.
Rabbit Hole premieres this Sunday on Paramount Plus, and we'll be right back.
Yay! Sign him up. Season 2 tomorrow. And we do thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow in your feed and Monday through Friday on your local CBS stations starting at 7 a.m.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to CBS Mornings on the go ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about the Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for the Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes. We can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.